I want to matter, not what I look like, not my outside. I want to matter. And that's why people have children. They want to feel like they matter. That's why they have a husband. They get these things on the outside to feel okay on the inside, but it really is an inside job. And it's okay to go inward. It's the most exciting adventure you'll ever do is to find out who you are.
You are listening to the Midlife with Courage podcast. This is where women in midlife come for inspiration, motivation, and sometimes a little education. Don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. Now let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Midlife with Courage. I am Kim Benoit, your host, and I'm so happy to have you all here. I'm also very happy to have my guest here with me today. Her name is Hillary Momberger Powers. Welcome to the podcast, Hillary.
Good morning. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's an honor to be asked to share something positive.
Yes, for
I'm
sure.
going to put it down like that. So,
Perfect. Yes, we have so many things that I want to talk to you about. I think it's kind of interesting that if anyone, probably most people, have watched the Charlie Brown shows, they've heard your voice. So we'll tease that a little bit, but why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit more. What would you like the listeners to know about you?
Well, hi you guys. My original name is Hillary Momberger, so you can if you look me up, you'll see my little face as a young kid. I started at 5 years old. I was the voice of Sally. That's when my career started. I didn't just, wake up and say, I think I want to be an actor.
Not at
Not
5 years old.
5 years old. It was one of those things that kind of I had a mother who was a stage mom who wanted everyone to be famous back in the 60s. It was kind of like, wow. She was a model growing up in New York City, and she was a Jackie Gleason girl. And I don't know if your listeners know who that is, but Jackie Gleason was a comedian, and he would have a show, and she would be one of the people that would say, and here's Jackie. So she would introduce them. So that was the claim to her fame. Back in the 30s and 40s, it wasn't respectable for a woman to have a job that wasn't a teacher or nurse, or to do anything that was kind of outlandish. And that was outlandish in that time to be doing something like that. So she decided to get married to my father. They were both Mensas, and he went to West Point, she went to Barnard, and they just thought they would, smart idea was to have seven children. Okay.
Seven children,
Yeah,
wow.
smart idea. There's the Mensa. And so she never really wanted to have kids, which is the ironic part. And I talk about this. I'm a mentor and I do a lot of public speaking and I coach a lot of women, and I have over the last 40 years, is we think that if we fix our outsides, our insides are going to get fixed. And my mother believed that if she made this life on the outside, it would make her feel okay on the inside. And that's kind of the theme of our world. We live with our, I call it the funnel on backwards. Our glasses are tweaked and we're wearing the wrong prescription, basically. My mother thought that if she had these kids, that she would feel valid enough. She was really, really beautiful. So a lot of people judged her by the outside, but she wanted to feel like she was doing something. So she had all these kids and she hated them. And she literally did. God bless her. And the funny thing is not funny. I've done a lot of work on this. I have no animosity towards my mother. I love my mother. All her horrible things she did and all the crazy stuff made me the most resilient woman and made me so empathetic and made me so encouraging of other people to get through shit. Because life is tough. Life's not easy. I don't know where I got this idea because I grew up in a cartoon. I grew up with a mask on. I grew up performing. I grew up living in the world of pretend. And unfortunately, it sounds great, but when you can't bring that guideline, those principles I learned, like everything's okay. If it hurts, don't let them know. It's all right. I'm good. How are you doing? Great. So I grew up with that. I learned how to do that so young. So there was a lot of violence and there was a lot of alcoholism and screaming and yelling and everything's fine. No one knew. It's okay. Put a pretty dress on, pretty face on. And how many people do we do that with? today.
Yeah.
So we're walking around two-faced. We don't even know it.
Right.
And we're living two separate lives in this duality. And then we see our world is in a complete duality. So we're constantly spun out. So back to how I became an actor, my mother took us all down to Hollywood. I was living in California. And just by the happenstance, I look like Shirley Temple and I met Charles Schulz and I met Bill Melendez for a cartoon. And they needed one more character, Sally, because the original Sally, they had done one show and she was a neighborhood kid. And all the Charlie Brown kids were really neighbors in Charles Schulz's neighborhood. And
Oh.
so they came down to Hollywood, they came to Southern California, and I just was like, hi, sat on his lap. We laughed. He just wanted to see if I were a kid. And I have the gift of gab, which is a good thing, and it's a bad thing. You just have to know to when to restrain that tongue. So just like that, my first job, I landed Sally.
Interesting.
So
Wow.
that's a big bar to start at.
Right,
And when
right.
you have a stage mother who was a mensa and used to getting everything she wants, I became her meal ticket.
Sure. And that's a lot of pressure, I would imagine,
7 year
for
old,
a
6 year
five-year-old.
old. Your brothers and sisters are going to starve if you don't get this commercial. Are you going to get it? I used to think, oh my God, they're going to starve. So I took on this cloak of like, I got to take care of everyone.
Oh,
I got to make
no.
sure everything's okay. I got to make sure everyone's all right. I can't let them know I'm stressed, you know?
Yeah. Oh,
So,
my gosh. My
you know,
heart breaks for you.
oh no, don't, because I have to say, you know, I have a saying, there's always a pony in the horse shit. Find it. And I found my pony. I keep finding my pony.
Yeah.
Think life is going to hell in a handbasket. I go, oh my God, something really awesome is gonna happen.
Oh my gosh, what a great mindset shift, actually.
I have a choice. I don't have a choice over if the world's gonna go to sh if we're all gonna be like, you know, transhuman. Who knows? I don't
Yeah.
know. I don't know. But I do have power over choosing the attitude I'm gonna bring in the day that I'm in.
Yeah. So let's talk about how that came to be, because you had struggles yourself, obviously, with all that pressure. Tell us about your struggles with that and what ended up happening to you because of all that
Well,
child fame and everything.
when you think that, you know, everybody's like, oh, aren't you in that commercial? And of course, I'm like, no, that's my sister, because I didn't want the attention. And
Oh.
I'm actually one of those people who don't want a lot of eyes on me,
Sure.
partially in my teens, because I was always doing something wrong. People wanted to see it. But on the other side, I didn't want, I felt naked. I felt raw because I thought if you stared at me long enough, you would see the craziness in my house. You would see the pain that I held. You would see so much. So it's easier to disappear. So, you know, when you grow up in trauma, there's three things that happen in trauma, and I call it the triangle. You either become the loner, the people pleaser, or the controller. Because when you're in this live or die, oh my God, if I don't do it, I'm going to get in trouble. You're in that fight or flight. It's going to kill me. So I pick a role to survive. I became a people pleaser. And then I became a loner when I found drugs and alcohol. And then I tried to control my life once it was a mess and it got worse and worse. And I kept digging myself worse and worse. So I grew up in this, you know, everybody's got to be perfect. They had the horses, I had the lessons. I had to be number one, had to be number one. And I didn't want to be number one. I just wanted to be a kid. You know, I didn't want to leave school and go to auditions. I just wanted to be a kid. I wanted to hang out with everybody else because you get treated differently. And if you're starving for attention and you start getting treated differently, it feels good for a second. It's like when you taste hot sauce, it's good for a second. Then when you get a lot, you're dying. That's kind of like attention. Like a little bit, I can't take. And, you know, like I said, some people may love a lot, but I didn't. So I started learning how to disappear. My mother would say, Hillary and her famous disappearing acts. I was called the defiant one, and I took that as a badge of honor. That's right, I'm the defiant one. Hey, when you're a kid, you just want to own something, right?
Sure.
And plus, I got seven brothers and sisters, and I'm smack in the middle.
Oh,
So
okay. I was going to ask where you fell in that group.
I'm the surveyor. I got to see what the right's doing, what the left's doing. So
Yeah.
I put that character into my adult life. So I grew up scared, fearful, not feeling enough. I'll never make it. Everybody's dying because of me. I'm not enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not cute enough. I'm flat chested, blah, blah. And then you bring it into your teen years, which is like one big
Oh,
hormone combustion.
sure.
And I find drugs and alcohol. I didn't want to do it to get high or feel good. I did it because I wasn't feeling all that low self-worth and that not enough and that fear. It became my answer. Oh, now I can breathe. Now I don't feel bad if I don't show up. Now I don't. So it really killed everything. Now you can't really function well. So here all of a sudden, good girl turns bad. Mom, now I'm like off the top of the list. I'm in the barrel. I'm like, you're a pain in the ass. I should have never had you. I should have aborted you. I'm like, oh,
Oh, no.
all these, but this is what we do. I mean, when I have to look at my mother's situation, she was violated as a child. She had sexual abuse. So she's got her hurts or angers, and she's going to be putting it on the whole family because we bring in our crap. And
Sure.
she thought if she had kids, everything would go away and she'd feel happily ever after. But you bring all your hurts and your boo-boos, and it's like a monkey who sits in a cage. He's gonna throw his, not because he doesn't like you, that's just what he does. A pigeon, it's just what it does. So she was throwing all her hurt and everything, and she was hoping to get healed. And then her resentment of not getting healed. And then we were, so that you become this battle zone. And then it looks so good on the outside. We look like the Kennedys. We were all just prim and proper. And nobody could know because I couldn't let you know how fractured I was inside. So I just imploded. And I
Sure.
think about kids today, same scenario. Same scenario. But the reason why I share a lot is I'm here to share hope.
Sure.
Regardless of where you're from, you're not what you're from. You
Yeah.
can be anything you want as long as you start changing your thoughts to get there. Because my old thought was, I'm not enough. I'm never going to get anywhere. I'm a loser. I failed my family. I was such somebody. Now I'm nobody. So don't talk, destroy yourself. And I ended up going to nine high schools. I ran away from home a lot. I was a latchkey kid. I was, 14, hitchhiking across the country, getting raped, getting hurt, not talking about it because it was probably my fault. Everything was my fault. And a lot of stuff was my fault. But later in my years, I got to figure out what really was my fault and what I was taking on just to stay in my self-pity and my victimism. Because that's another identity. Oh, yeah, wah, wah. So I learned to laugh at myself, So I ended up at 21 years old, overdosing a couple times. But for the grace of God, someone introduced me to AA. And I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm still a big member of it. And I'm also a huge advocate on everything from therapy to, nutrition. Like it takes all kinds of stuff to feel better. It's not
Sure.
stop drinking, your life will become a miracle. It's like there's a lot of work involved. But there's a lot of work involved staying depressed. There's a lot of work involved being a victim. It's
Yeah.
exhausting being a victim. Trying
Yeah.
to figure out another way to blame everybody. Man, that's exhausting.
Yeah, I've thought of that before. We're talking about people or thinking about people, like that must be so tiring for them. Don't they want to just try and step away from it, like do something different.
Yeah, and the problem is how many people tried to shake you up and how many people tried to shake me up, I have to hit my own bottom, and my bottom looks different than your bottom and everybody else's. My bottom, I was homeless. I was like, living on selling pots and pans on the side of the highway. I was dipping drugs. I was in Compton, North Long Beach, in a very predominantly black neighborhood for this little short midget white girl who was somebody but didn't care about herself. And I just, it was, I was just falling, you know, but for the grace of God. And I'm a huge God believer, only because I'm not God, I realized, and I need a power so much greater than me, because this power is a little fractured. I don't know where to go. My maneuver is kind of off. My compass is messed up. So I got to ask somebody else. And I go to this power called God. And I say, can you help me today? My mind is telling me I'm going to have a shitty day. Can you help me? Can you shut my head up? Because my mind's the one who's going to dictate everything. You're raised in a family of a lot of fear and anger and trauma. My mind's always on guard. I'm ready for Freddy. What's happening? Everything's like, so I don't know how to stabilize it all. All I know is I'm constantly, you know, catastrophizing because there's a lot of catastrophes going on. And I don't know how to make a choice on going to school or college, or I don't do any of that. All I know is I'm 18 years old. I got to survive. And I learned a lie. I tell them my diploma's in the mail and I lie to get into this little nursing college. And in my mind, because I'm defiant, that character defect became an asset. I'm defiant. I'm not going to let them know that I didn't graduate from, I didn't finish. I went to 9 high schools for ninth grade. For ninth grade, that was it.
And you still got into nursing school.
You know, the gift of gab, you know, plus and a curse. What do you think salesmen do? Hello? You know, do you really want that vacuum cleaner? No.
No, but
You
they'll convince you you do.
know, Instagram's the best salesman in the world. Really want that lotion? So I went ahead and I lied to get into nursing college because in my mind, this is the fractured, this hurt mind says, if I take care of somebody, they'll take care of me. So I go with the intention not to give, but get me, give me, give me, give me, give me, which is a lot of the women I work with and the people that I have been able to share my story with, that it's got to turn around or you're going to keep getting the same thing over and over and over. Because when you're hurt or have had something happen to you, your ego, which protects you, becomes the judger. Because it wants to make sure nothing happens again. So my ego is never going to be satisfied because I can't see it. It's not seeing correctly. It says, no, they're not enough. I got to get this job. I got to get this husband. So we're constantly throwing people away. We're constantly getting new jobs. We never feel good at our, we can't wait to get that job. And then we get there and we're like, oh, really? Is this it? Are you kidding? I went to college for this because I'm not really living in the moment. I'm living in my past. So I go ahead and I get this nursing job and I'm working in a doctor's office and I'm getting a lot of trouble with the drugs because I'm the back office nurse. Not good for a girl who loves checking out. So by the time I was 21, I was a hot mess. I was strung out and I hated my parents. My stepfather was a chemist. My parents got a divorce, and my stepfather was a chemist in California who brought crystal meth into California. He taught everybody how to cook speed.
Oh no. That's a claim to fame, I
Yeah,
guess.
right. That was my family. Yeah, Breaking Bad, 100% in the 70s. Like the Winnebago in the front yard, they deliver the speed, and it was pretty exciting because then you have another secret life. So there's all these, I keep layering all this lies over lies over lies. I don't even know I'm doing it. I don't even know who I am. And that's where birth happens. If you don't know who you are and you hit that bottom, you can start clearing everything out and find out. So I hit this bottom at 21 and went into a grand mal seizure on a fire escape and said, if there's a God, don't let me die. That was my first introduction back into that believing in something because I'd given up hope on everything. I was a failure. I hated myself. I didn't think I'd live past 20. Really didn't. 25, no way. I didn't care. I just didn't care. And I had this first hint of hope, like maybe I'm supposed to be here. And I'd love to say, we all want that quick fix, swipe right, 20
Yep.
second. I can only, we have attention spans of 12 minutes, they're saying now. Wow, that's great. And a minute on a Instagram, right?
Yeah, if
It's
that.
our brain is trained to get rid of dispose, dispose. And I don't understand why I can't have friendships and love and partners and consistencies and good careers because I'm in fear throwing it away all the time.
Sure.
So over the years, and I've been around a couple minutes, I'm in my 60s, over the years, and I'm happy to be a grown up. I'm happy to be in my 60s. I don't want to look younger. I don't want to tuck and tip and do all. I just want to, I'm so content in the day I'm in. I'm just
Love it.
okay being Hillary.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get old. Thank God I'm going to get old. I don't want to
Yeah.
stay here forever. Hell no.
Yeah.
I want to ease out quietly. And that's what I'm learning to do. So I go ahead and I have all this stuff happen and I've learned how to stabilize. I call that triangle of trauma, which is the, like the people pleaser, the controller and the loner. And I'm always in fight or flight. So I have got to look at the body, mind, and the soul. Like, what am I doing to create this and keep this going? So in order for me to be able to make a rational decision, which we all want to do, especially here I am in my 60s and I'm redoing my career again. And I can't get my career over here. I got to start right here. So, how do I calm myself down so I can see what's ahead of me? I got to stabilize myself. And that's the bottom hitting the bottom. So, in my triangle, where there's five processes, stabilize means safety. When you're a little kid and or a mother, you tell your kid you can only stay out till 5 o'clock. There is a rule. Why do we need rules? Because I feel safe. Oh, good, I can play till 5 o'clock. So now I can have fun until then. And then I know that's why we need rules. Kids need boundaries. They make me feel safe. So if I look at my safety, I have to look at my senses. Seeing, am I pleasing myself? Am I putting myself in a position where I feel good about what I see? Tasting, am I drinking water? Am I eating well? What am I doing? Am I eating sugar? Am I drinking caffeine all night? We just had that conversation the
Yeah.
other. Like, how come you're, I don't know why I'm agitated. What are you doing? What are you drinking? Are you drinking monsters all night till 10 o'clock at night and going, I can't sleep at night. I don't know why.
I
It's
don't
like,
know why.
see, and we go seeing, tasting, touching. Am I wearing clothes? Sometimes I will go shopping and I will just touch fabric because the fabric makes me feel safe. Seeing, tasting, touching, hearing. Am I listening to good music? Am I listening to headbanging music about getting shot, killing people? I don't know why I'm anxious. Or am I calming myself down? Can I go listen to the lake? Can I go down and listen to the birds? I love the sound of children laughing. I love the sound of laughter, So I start seeing, tasting, touching, hearing, smelling. I love the smell of coffee. I'll do things like I'll put perfume on, I'll go smell some flowers. So I start to stabilize myself. When I can stabilize my senses, I connect to that sixth sense that says everything is okay. I can calm myself on out in the day I'm in. So when I'm in this trauma, like something happens, like I've had a lot of stuff happen. My mother died homeless. My father put a gun to his head. My brother died. I've had friends die. I've had lots of traumatic things. My work is not to fix the outsides. I need to stabilize myself first. So then I can see clearly. So that's the first layer. Once I can stabilize myself, and we have the power to deal with our own trauma, I don't need to go to 15 therapists, go find a coach that costs $8 billion, go to a rehab to take me out of the. I just need to do the. As a kid, remember when it said, oh, honey, do you need a nap? Oh, someone's tired. Here, why don't we put some nice music on, right? That's stabilizing. And I need to do that just to myself. So once I get into a stabilizing place, then I can reemerge in the world I'm in. That's how I feel like I have a community, like I can get involved in church or PTA or a group of women to read books on Fridays or, go with the kids with the soccer. I talk to the other women or the other fathers. So now I get a sense of community, church, whatever your flavor is of where you can feel like you have a sense of belonging. But I can't get there until I stabilize. But what we do is we go, I got to start going out. I got to start. So I start, my funnel becomes on backwards.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Ladies, I am so excited about my new venture in this podcast. I'm calling it Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. You are going to get me, Kim Benoy, once or twice a month. I'm going to be getting real with you about the conversations that I have with my guests, and I'm going a little bit deeper. I'm going to bring my own personal experiences into it. I'm going to share what I've got going on in the hopes that you will share right back with me. This is not going to be me just talking in front of the microphone. I want your input. I want your participation. If you go to my show notes at the end of this episode, you'll see a support the show. That is where you can subscribe to Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. For only $5 a month, you're going to get this extra bonus content once, twice a month, and we're going to talk about what's really happening in midlife. I'm going to share my experiences. I'm going to get real. I'll probably get a little vulnerable. I'll be sharing things I don't normally share. So please subscribe so that you can get in on the founding members of this new Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. I'll see you there. Yeah.
Classes are skewed. So once I can get into that stabilizing place, then I start feeling good about myself. Man, I showed up. That lady said she liked me. God, that feels good. Now I get some self-worth, some self-esteem, which I'm lacking. How can I make a decision to shift my life if I don't even like myself? So once I can get those couple layers up, then I could start saying, what do I like to do? So if you're in a place where you want to change your life, you hate your freaking job. I mean, I don't know how many people goes, I hate my job, but I show up. My dad used to say to me, my dad worked at Northrop, and I'm sure he was a CIA agent. I kind of think he was, but that's another story. I used to say, Dad, how do you go to work every day? And he goes, I hate my, you think I like my job? He goes, just show up. How many people say that? 90% of the people. I gotta just show up because my mind, remember, I'm fractured from way from the beginning. I'm like a hurt little scared little girl that's afraid of everything. Take it, take it. Oh, he's a nice guy, take him, even though he's like beats women. But it's okay, I have a place to live. Fear makes a lot of choices. Unless I go back to the original fear and calm it down and just say, you know, honey, it's okay. Everything's going to be okay. I start talking to myself, like, I take a breath and I start self-soothing instead of going outside where it's loud. And once I can do that and I go, what do you want to do? Well, I like people. Okay. Do you want to go maybe work customer service? Oh, I don't like people that much. I don't know. I'd rather get a Siri to take care of that. But okay, what else do you like? I like art. Well, maybe you can go work in an art studio. Maybe you can sell. So now all of a sudden, once I am stabilized and I start getting into the community, I start asking people, hey, do you guys have any, know anybody of a new job? And then all of a sudden I start hearing different things because I've stabilized my thoughts and my hearing, my senses. And they say, oh my God, there's this great place. It's a kids' art studio. It's and I go, oh my God, I love the sound of kids laughing and giggling. That's a great place. I love art. I love painting. So I start tapping into the things that make my heart feel big and good, soothing. And then I start to be aware that there's more things out there. Then I can be productive. And there's nothing like feeling like I'm adding to the world instead of here to give me, give me, give me, give me.
Yes.
Because
Yes.
when I'm going, give me, I got to get this, I got to get this bag, I got to, my ego, which is fractured, is never satisfied. I'm
Right.
never going to be happy. So
Yeah.
there's never going to be enough clothes, never going to be enough money, never n food, nothing. I keep eating more, more, give me more and more. Because I can't get satisfied because I'm
Right.
not stable.
Right.
So it always comes to the beginning. Where do I start? The beginning. So when I'm talking to women, they're like, yeah, but I need a new job or I need a new career. I need a new husband. Let's just stabilize. They're like, you're so calm about it. Yeah, because you're going to find out it's not that big. We're not in catastrophe. We're not in trauma right now. Let's try to get in today. So these little things, and I have like workbooks, I like help people do it. Like these little things are so simple. It's almost, we don't want it simple. We want it hard.
Yeah.
Because I'm used to it really
You,
hard.
because you have to work for what you want,
I
and
have
you,
it. No. And that's the funnel on backwards. Everything I learned was wrong. Everything. You know, my dad, you gotta go to work because you hate it. I am like, okay, dad, I can't wait to grow up. I'm sorry, but it's like, oh. And then, of course, I fight to grow up.
Sure. Who would want to do that? Who would want to be
You
a grown up?
know, parents say, you gotta hurry up and get through school. And then you're like, now what? Now what? I don't even know who I am. So you get all these things on the outside, and these kids are. I mean, these, I'm taking kids in their 30s and 40s because I'm in my 60s. But, you know, they're just like deer in the headlight like going, why am I here? To be happy. What does that look like? Well, let's get down to basics. Have you had a glass of water today? They're like, what are you talking about? Well, I'm 85% water, fluid in my body. If I'm dehydrated, my synapses in my brains are not going to be firing off weird. So let's just get the simple. And then all of a sudden we can start from there. And that's where I find the pony and the horse manure. Because it's not over there. The pony's not over there. It's exactly where I'm at. And I get to find it. So, like I said, I mean, I've been a nurse. I went to art school. I went to art school. And my mentor said, you got to finish. Well, in my third year, I'm drawing live new drawings. And I go, oh my God, I'm a fine artist, not a graphic artist. I don't want to do this. He's like, you gotta do it. And I said, it was the first time I was 28 years old. And I said, I'd gone back to college again. And I said, why do I have to be one thing? Now, she was taught you're one thing only. So she's just sharing what she knows. Because I had learned to stabilize, I started thinking and feeling and asking different questions. Why do I have to be one thing? If I have a hope chest, God gives me a hope chest. And when I'm 17 and I'm in high school, I go and I grab one thing, lawyer. And I close the hope chest. I got it. Well, brave enough is when I can be able to open that hope chest and say, oh my gosh, there's all kinds of things in here I might like. So I went to school to be a nurse. I went to massage girls because I thought I wanted to be a chiropractor. No, I just like being in shape. I went into school to film school because I didn't want to be an actor because I was too me too'd at the time. I wanted to. It's my brain. So I became a script supervisor and then I produced movies and then I became actor again and then I coached. And so I started keep going in my hope chest going, I like this because the joy is living, not making a living. I want to have a life, meaning I have an inside life where I get up in the morning and I think, wow, today's going to be, who knows what's going to happen? How exciting. I have a plan. And if it doesn't work, I'm just going to trust it's going to be the best day ever. Why not? Why not me? Because I used to be, it always happens to me.
Poor me.
Yeah, poor, poor me a drink, I always say. But yeah, God, I'm sorry. You know, I always get crummy men. You know, he's always, nobody ever takes me out. What if you redesign your life in here, put it on paper, look at it. Would you like that? I don't know. I've never had it. Well, let's see. And then allow yourself to have that imagination and allow yourself to go to that God that you've just started having conversations with. Like, God, I don't know if I don't know. I think I might like it. Can you show it to me? Like, relate to this dude, talk to him, and then see. Because you may get that life and that job and go, this isn't it. Okay.
Next.
Right. Or say, show me the things I do like in this job. Because remember, my magnifying mind's going to, they're a jerk. They're not. I'm not. That's my
Oh,
old
sure.
paradigm. But I'm going to go off track occasionally. Whatever. Oopsie. Oopsie. I'm negative Nancy today. Oopsie. So it's me, takes me to get back. But I need a community. I need to be stable so I can see that. I need to have some self-worth to go, oh, you know what? I've been down this road. I can do it again. I got faith in you, Hill. Come on, girl. Let's go. And then I get productive and I start changing the way I think, the way I feel, the way I act. And then the last part is the most wonderful part of getting stabilized and going up this ladder is then I can be of service to another human being. I can share my joy, my happiness, how I've been through it, and my encouragement with another human being. That's like the best drink, heroin, shopping, sex, food. It's better than any of that stuff because I get that hit of like, wow, I matter.
I matter. I love that.
And I want to matter. I want to matter. Not what I look like, not my outside. I want to matter. And that's why people have children. They want to feel like they matter. That's why they have a husband. They get these things on the outside to feel okay on the inside. But it really is an inside job. And it's okay to go inward. It's the most exciting adventure you'll ever do is to find out who you are.
I had planned when I had kids that I was going to have grandkids, and I planned my life almost around that idea. But now, when you said that about we have kids because we want to matter. Well, I do. When I really think about it, yeah, I want grandkids to keep my legacy or something going on, but I don't need that for that to happen. I don't need them for that to happen. I can do that myself.
Well, and there's always, see, we always think that when, remember when we were talking about the hope box, the hope
Yes,
chest,
the hope chest.
we only opened it one time. Open it more
Open it more.
because I didn't have kids. And then I thought, oh, good, yeah, I don't matter. I don't have kids. All my friends are having kids. And they're like, oh my God, you'd make great kids. You'd make beautiful. And I'm like, hi, I'm different. Hey, do I? But I started thinking, how can I just have love I want to give. How can I do that? So I volunteer and I started mentoring women because I had a foster mom when I was 14. And I remember the day that I came out of juvenile hall and she picked me up. And because I salt and battery, I was a bad kid. Bad kid turned good, but I was adventurous. So she said to me, gosh, I looked outside the window and it was cloudy. And I was living in California. It's rare it's cloudy. And I go, wow, it's so cloudy outside. She goes, wow, that's the first time you came out of yourself to see the world differently. When she said that to me, I learned from a stranger. And that made me think I can go mentor or go volunteer to the Boys and Girls Club. And you know how much I matter to these strangers because they're able to hear. Because family, you don't listen. You're like, yeah, ma, whatever. Okay, I know, I know, I know. That's my favorite word, right? Yeah, two words. I know.
I know.
Yeah, right. If I knew better, I'd do better, right? Maybe. So I thought, wow, this is interesting. I can add to a stranger just as well as I can add to my family. So I started doing things like I would go to the Boys and Club and I would volunteer. I asked, you can see if you can go babysit. You can have, parties at your on your property. All these, there's so many ways for you to get rid of all that love. That's what you want to do. It's not that you want to get a legacy. You want to get rid of the love that you have inside.
Yeah, that's true. And I think part of that, doing this podcast too, I get to connect with women who I would never be able to connect with without it. You know, I mean, look, you're in Florida, I'm in Wisconsin, and, you know, we're having this wonderful conversation, and that lights me up. And once I started focusing on that too, that kind of helped too. Like, I am making a difference. You know, it's not just me talking to women. It's we're connecting and we're showing that connection, and the listeners are hearing that too. So, yeah. But
Yeah, that's the joy of giving.
so back to you. What things are you doing now? Tell the listeners where they could find you if they're interested in knowing more about you.
Well, I'm a keynote speaker and I do a lot of motivation. So people ask me, like, I go to colleges, which I love going to colleges because women were like a little lost in our 20s. And I'm very big on, let's make a lot of mistakes, guys. Let's go for it. You know, I don't, perfection, look at a Pollock. You know, Mona Lisa is not a pretty painting. Let's just put that up. But it's like art, right? So we're going to make mistakes. So I do private coaching. I only take on so many because I really give myself to people. So I've been doing that for 40 years. You can book HillaryPowers.live if you want a keynote speaking. I've written a few books. I have a few books right now, two children's books and a memoir that I'm looking for publishers to get published. I do have some ebooks of I'm no longer leading with your wound. That's my keynote. Because we end up leading our lives. Like I pick all my men, my food, my future, my jobs, all from my wounds. They're not even really what I want. It's just a habit.
Oh,
So
interesting.
I show you how to kind of, I coach you in that. I have 6 weeks course, 12-week courses on how to, and I love working with women that really want to, they want to shift. Because you can be anything. I mean, from where I came from, I'm not that woman. On the outside, it looked like I had everything, but then I was destitute and was homeless and living on the streets and going, I just want to kill myself. And now I love my life. I'm not talking about my living, I'm talking about my inside life. I get up in the morning and I feel good because I pray. If I don't go to pray in the morning, I'm going to this brain. And I'm probably going to get into some mischief and cause some kind of havoc and catastrophe. So I go, okay, God, it's another day. Can you show me what to do next? Let's have the best day ever. And I really show the people I work with, and especially when I do public speaking, I give them tools right there and then. It's not over there, it's right here. Let's do it right now. Let's do it right now. Your life starts right now. So I show you how to do that. So you can reach me. I'm on Instagram, Hillary Mombacher Powers, TikTok. I think it's at Powers, Hillary M Powers. I'm on LinkedIn, Podmatch, and Facebook, and all the places you go, I guess. But
Yeah, to find you. What popped into my mind, which I do this a lot, a guest will be talking and something pops into my mind. Would you consider yourself a work in progress?
always. I don't want to be, I always say this. Okay, so the girls say to me, oh my God, I want to, and they're always in their like 30s. They want to just do it right now. I got to get pregnant now. Like there's been a couple girls that I work with and I've kind of showed them how to manifest how to get pregnant. One girl got pregnant in 10 days and she was 40. She says, I've been
Gosh.
forever. I'm like, wow, that it's not me. I just show her how to tap in. I want to help you help yourself. I'm not a guru. I don't want you to be dependent on me. I want to show you how to be okay with you and depend on something greater than you. That's it. That's it. I want to be the gateway, but no, work in progress is funny. So she says, I want to be everything. And I said, here's the thing. I'm a Cadillac. I'm never going to be a Porsche. I always wanted to be a Porsche my whole life when I get over there. So wake up and I go, oh my God, all my windows are busted, my car, my tires are flat, I've got no oil, no gas. My work is to keep it maintaining constantly, constantly. So I'm always a work in progress. Like some
Mm-hmm.
days I'll feel great and I'll all of a sudden go, oh my God, did I just eat a bag of Oreos? Oh, all of a sudden my mind's like, you fat, fat. And I go into the old school of like the old song. I call it the elevator music. It's like, oh, there I go again. That is that song playing again? You're a fat old hag. Oh, yes, I know that song. So I get to go, okay, stabilize. Am I eating well? So it's constant, but that's life. So when I take care of my living, how I live, my inside life is calmer. And then I can have a fruitful life. And then
And you can go.
I start seeing when I'm stressed and I go, oh my God, look at the butterflies are still here. Oh, they're so great. Look at the leaves are changing. How beautiful. I can smell things differently because now I'm stable and I can reemerge into this busy, crazy rat race. Oh my God, we're in the biggest show right now. And I have got to go here so I can reemerge back out there. It's, I get to learn how to watch the, it's like saying being on the ticker at the stock market or watching it. I watch it and I go, wow, it's up high today. Wow. Wow. Well, looks like it's gone. I'm not emotionally attached to it because I've learned how to go here for my life, not here for my living.
Right. I love too that you bring your hand into your heart. I think people do that automatically or without thinking about
Yeah,
it
because
too.
they're taking care of your biofield. Here it is. Ooh.
It's right here. Yeah, I love that.
And I can calm myself down just like that by going, you're okay, honey. You're okay, honey. You're
I've
okay.
learned that too. And then when I'm ready to, I just open my arms. The arms just go out. So
Let's go.
let's go.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Hillary, this has been such a wonderful conversation. I feel like we could just keep going and going and going.
It's great. Thank you for asking such good questions. I
Oh,
appreciate it.
you're welcome. Is there any one last little nugget of knowledge you want to share with the listeners before we say goodbye?
I always like to it's let people know that, you're where you're at right now. You're in the best place ever. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. If you feel like you hit the bottom, awesome. Now you can build a strong foundation. If you feel like, oh my God, I made all these wrong choices and you're going through a divorce, I want you to celebrate that you're getting to know yourself more because that's all you, I want to know who I am before I'm out of here. I'm just passing through. I might as well get to know the host because I'm the host. So if you're in a really tight spot or you're scared or lonely, start praying to something you don't understand. Doesn't matter. I don't understand God all the time. I don't even know who he is half the time, but I keep talking to him. And then it helps me go, what do I need today? And it's seeing, tasting, touching, hearing, smelling, those senses. Stabilize. And from there, I swear your life can be amazing in here. That's where I live. I live right here.
They're right there. I love that
Yeah.
so much. I love that. The picture and words. Yes. Thank you so much for sharing your story
Awesome. Thanks
and
for
tips with
inviting me.
our listeners. And I hope this isn't the last time we ever talk because I would love to talk to you again sometime.
Oh, invite me back on. I'd love to. You're awesome. Thank you. Have the best day ever, you guys.
You
Why
too.
not?
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Midlife with Courage podcast. If you liked what you heard, I would love it if you would leave me a review. Or even better, send a link of this episode to a friend. Until next time, take care of your beautiful self.